Voices of protest and acts of civil disobedience. Activists in D.C. say dump Trump and disarm AIPAC. All that and more coming up. Good morning. Welcome to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. Your show based here in the nation's capital, devoted to coverage of social justice activism in the streets and in the suites of power. I'm your host, Esther Rivera. I'm here on this 24th day of March, 2016, our first show of spring, when so much is happening right here in the D.C. area, the DMV. For example, much of the news cycle this week focused on the bombings in Brussels, and with the meeting of AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the pro-Israel lobby, and speeches before AIPAC by Republican presidential candidates and Democrat Hillary Clinton, all of whom fell over themselves to appear the most pro-Israel and the least supportive of the Palestinian people. Well, on this show, you know, we can't have that. The exception was Senator Bernie Sanders, who did not attend the AIPAC gathering and released a statement about the need to support both Israel and Palestinians. Well, today we're going to hear voices of protesters at the large Dump Trump and Disarm AIPAC rally that was outside the AIPAC meeting right there at 7th and G Streets in Northwest D.C. But before we get to that, our headlines. Before heading to Argentina, President Obama completed his historic trip to Cuba, the first visit of a sitting president to the island nation since 1928. And while the meeting between Obama and Cuba's President Raul Castro was seen as historic, observers noted that relations cannot be normalized between the two countries while the U.S. continues to illegally occupy Guantanamo Bay and holds in place an economic embargo against the country. Black Agenda Report editor Margaret Kimberly told WPFW's Voices with Vision that the embargo is a major obstacle to Cuba's development.
I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that the sanctions will not end. Congress has to vote to remove the sanctions. And, you know, Cuba is one of those countries where the U.S. imposes sanctions and then points a finger and says, oh, look, that country is all messed up. But Cuba cannot, not only can't trade with the United States, but can't trade with other countries. Because sanctions prevent any country that wants to do business with the U.S. from doing business with Cuba. So they can't buy, you know, hammers or nails or paint, and then people say that, you know, Cuba, you know, looks all messed up, but, well, that's because of the United States. Can't import medicine, can't import food. I could go on, and that is not going to end with this visit from President Obama.
Common Dreams is reporting that though Hillary Clinton claimed victory in the Arizona Democratic primary, thousands of voters were left out to dry in the state, with shuttered polling places, endless lines, and widespread reports of disenfranchisement. In Maricopa County, which includes the capital, Phoenix, voters waited up to 5 hours to cast a ballot after the county elections office slashed the number of polling sites from 200 in 2012 to just 60 this year. As the state's most populous county, this amounted to more than 20,000 voters for every available polling location. Tens of thousands have already signed a White House petition calling on the Obama administration to investigate the voter fraud and suppression in Arizona. Arizona is one of the states that would have been required to have federal approval to alter its voting laws until the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act in 2013. Also from Common Dreams, the FBI is getting help from an Israeli software company in effort to unlock the phone of the suspect in the San Bernardino shootings. And the FBI wants to classify its new alternate method of unlocking the suspected shooter's phone and keeping it secret even from Apple itself. According to additional reporting from Reuters, on Wednesday, the outside party is an Israeli software company called Cellebrite, which creates, among other things, a forensic system used to by law enforcement, military, and intelligence that retrieves data hidden inside mobile devices. The former top domestic advisor to President Richard Nixon admitted years ago that the so-called war on drugs was crafted to target black people and anti-war leftists, and this buried admission has gone viral in a new investigation by journalists Dan Baum and Harper's. His article includes an excerpt from a 1994 interview between Baum and Nixon's advisor, John Ehrlichman, who died in 1999. One passage in particular went viral this week, quote, "We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did." And that's the end of that quote. Now, speaking of GOP political maneuverings, Jamila Bay has more on the presidential election. Jamila, what do you have?
Well, thank you for inviting me in. I love being here every week and, you know, expressing my outrage with you and all of the listeners. This week, you know, we saw that the GOP did their best to try and throw the brakes on this car careening off of a cliff, dealing with issues of racism, dealing with the fact that it really does appear that Donald Trump is all but unstoppable, at least until the convention, the GOP convention this summer, where the actual candidate is going to be named. You've had a number of heavyweight GOP folks come out, Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, and pretty much say they're not naming Trump. He's Trump Demort or something like that, the candidate who shall not be named. But
Trump Demort.
Trump Demort. I'm just going
like to. Like Voldemort?
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, you can't say the name or else it gives it power, you know, at least in the wizarding world and I guess in the political world as well. But anytime Paul Ryan, who a couple of years ago, nuns, many religious people, many advocates for the poor, many advocates for non-white people came out and said, Paul Ryan's budget is very much against the people who are disenfranchised in this country. Mm-hmm. Nuns, the Catholic nuns came out and said, this is not the budget of a Catholic. This hurts everyone disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. Paul Ryan
came out. It's not what Jesus would do.
Who would Jesus starve? Not so much, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Paul Ryan came out and said, we're not going to get more votes by dividing people. We can't talk this hatred. He didn't say we can't talk this hatred. He just said the dividing people. But the underlying theme, you know, again, Lindsey Graham came out weeks ago talking about my party went bat bleep crazy. And there are a number of fractures happening in the GOP. Honestly, it's fun to watch. On the other hand, these are people's lives at stake. So when you have rabbis standing up in the middle of the pro-Israel convention to start screaming, this man is wicked, he wants to divide us. Anytime you have people who typically don't really come out to bring up Mussolini and Hitler and fascism going, you know, this guy wants to patrol Muslim neighborhoods. The last time that happened, folks wound up with Kristallnacht. It's on the one hand a little too late, but at least it's coming. Nobody's being, you know, rounded up just yet. The fear is great. Even the GOP is starting to notice it. Even mainstream media are starting to do some pushback. Finally. But this Trump thing is frightening, and voters need to remember that sitting at home is a vote as well. You know, if you want to participate in this democracy and not let he who shall not be named with the funny hair coast to victory, speaking out is something that our Constitution demands of us, and now is the time. Better now than, you know, maybe, you know, maybe in a few years when we go, oh, if we had only. So it's scary, it's frightening, and it's coming to a head. But as we saw, people come out and they've been speaking out. So go First Amendment.
Right. You know, yeah, people are kind of treating it like a reality TV show, I think, which is like what you've mentioned before. Wow. So speaking of what people are watching. I have really quick in our culture and media moment. Jazz artist Esperanza Spalding is again raising the issue of closing the Guantanamo Bay in prison in Cuba. She told Bill Maher on Friday's show why she has taken up the issue. And Miles Ahead, the biopic about jazz trumpeter Miles Davis starring Don Cheadle, opens next Friday. And I think as we've been giving tribute all morning, you know, rest in peace to Malik Taylor, known as Fife Dog of Tribe Called Quest, who joined the Ancestors on Tuesday following complications from diabetes. He was 45 years old. So thank you, Jamila. I forgot to put in my thanks there.
Always my pleasure.
So those are our headlines and happenings. When we come back, voices rallying to dump Trump and disarm AIPAC. Stay with us.
Here we go, yo.
Well, what do you know? The diddog is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holds barred. No time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow. But we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, my crew will help you get your Z's.
That was Tribe Called Quest on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. Again, rest in peace, rest in power to Fife Dog. Now, much of the news cycle, as I mentioned earlier, was consumed with the meeting of AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the self-described pro-Israel lobby, and speeches before AIPAC by all the Republican presidential candidates and Democrat Hillary Clinton. What you did not hear in mainstream media were many, if any, of the protesters at the large Dump Trump and Disarm AIPAC rally that was outside the AIPAC meeting right there at 7th and G Streets outside the Verizon Center in Northwest D.C. So we're going to hear those voices this morning, and this is our community watch and comment for today. So let's go to some of those voices now.
Not another nickel! Israel's crimes! Not another nickel! Not another dime!
I want to thank you all for this standing for the Palestinian people, with the Palestinian people against the occupation, against the AIPAC that sent the money to occupation to kill our people, in Palestine, that's using the non-violent way in our struggle. And it's happened in my village, Bil'in, and all of you know the village of Bil'in. That's using the non-violent resistance against the occupation, against the theft of our land, against confiscated of our olive trees, destroyed of our trees. These people here that came to support the AIPAC, to the conference of the AIPAC, they came to send money to this occupation. They came to support the occupation, to kill other people in other world. So it's a shame. It's a shame. I want to thank you all who are standing with the Palestinians against this conference. I want to thank you because you give us more hope to continue our struggle, to continue our resistance, to have our freedom. And I want to tell you important thing that's what the Zionist try to mention in the media to the people here. That we are against the Jewish. We are not against the Jewish. We are against the occupation. And we're looking for our freedom. We're fighting for our freedom. We're fighting for a better future for our children that's been killed every day by these weapons that been sent from United States to this occupation. It must be stopped. And I want to thank you again for standing with us. Thank you all.
Hate rhetoric and racism due to people. And he's fighting for human rights for all people through nonviolence. And that's why we're here today, to stand up for human rights for all people, to stand against the racism and hate mongering of Trump, and to stand against AIPAC Islamophobia and hate mongering as well. Trump preaches hate. Israel is an apartheid state. Donald Trump preaches hate. Israel is an apartheid state. He is a dedicated peace activist for human rights. It's a great pleasure to give you Miko Peled.
Thank you. Thank you, Code Pink. Let's give a hand to Code Pink for doing a great job. Yeah. For their courage. Thank you. Well, the people behind here, you all know what this is about. Obviously, the people here walking in like sheep in a herd, walking into the AIPAC conference, walking in to hear Donald Trump, you guys are not familiar with the reality. You're supporting a state that's been involved in ethnic cleansing, genocide, and an apartheid regime in Palestine for 70 years. It's time for Jews to wake up. It's time for Israelis to wake up. It's time for you to realize that you are no different than Donald Trump. Quite the opposite. Donald Trump has a big mouth. You guys are supporting the state of Israel, which is committing genocide. And if you don't remember, the summer of 2014, the state that you support, the army that you support, the terrorist organization called the Israeli Defense Force, murdered over 2,000 innocent Palestinians in Gaza. They murdered over 2,000 Palestinian civilians in Gaza. And this is just the count of those who were killed. Tens of thousands were injured. The state of Israel denies thousands of people water and medicine and food. Shame on anyone who supports the state of Israel. Shame on people that do not support the Palestinians. Shame on people who support Israel. Shame on people who support Israel. Shame on AIPAC. It should be closed down and be made illegal. The IDF is a terrorist organization. You are supporting a terrorist regime. You should be ashamed of yourself and you should be outlawed. AIPAC provides money. AIPAC provides support
to a state that is committing genocide, and shame on you for supporting them, and shame on you for going to listen to Donald Trump.
All we are saying is dump Donald Trump. All we are saying is dump Donald Trump. All we are saying is dump Donald Trump. So those of you going inside, if you don't agree with what Donald Trump stands for, it's your responsibility to stand up and protest. If you listen quietly, you are complicit. Stand up and protest Donald Trump.
There are millions and millions of Muslims in this country, and they are our brothers and sisters. Any Muslims here? We are glad you are here because we are all one people together. And let's remember, this is a nation of immigrants. And we want to always welcome immigrants into this country, because immigrants, we are immigrants unless you're Native American, and immigrants enrich our lives in tremendous ways. And were it not for the immigrant community, this nation would stop. And we need immigrants, we love immigrants, and we also want to open this country up to refugees, to people who are fleeing from violence, because that's what we want our country to be, a refuge, a place where people come and they're welcome with open arms. Donald Trump is preaching to people who feel disaffected, and they are seeing him as the Messiah, but he is a false Messiah. Donald Trump is leading people down the path of division, of war, of violence. Just look at the violence in Donald Trump's rallies. I mean, we have had a peaceful protest out here. There has not been one bit of violence from our side, because we are nonviolent people. And the people who go into Donald Trump's rallies are nonviolent people. But Donald Trump encourages people to hit them, people to throw them on the ground and stomp on them. He says, remember the days when people would go out in a stretcher. Well, you know what? Those are not the days we want to remember. What we want are days where people can voice their First Amendment rights and feel comfortable that no policeman is going to come and drag them off, that they're not going to be arrested, that they're not going to be beat up. We want a country where we live together in peace and we show kindness to the rest of the world. Donald Trump says torture is okay. Is torture okay?
No!
Donald Trump says waterboarding is okay. Is waterboarding okay?
No!
Donald Trump says Mexicans are racist. Are rapists. Are Mexicans rapists?
No!
Is this mama our enemy?
No!
Donald Trump says all kinds of crazy things. And unfortunately, people are flocking to him because they know that this system doesn't work. We agree with them. This system does not work. But Donald Trump is not going to make the system work.
Woo!
Donald Trump is the antithesis of the kind of system that we want to live in. It's so funny that this billionaire is seen as a savior for working class people. He is not. Donald Trump is the 1%. Donald Trump is for the 1%. And Donald Trump is not the kind of person that we could tolerate as president of this country, right?
No.
So while the police are letting us sit here, we're going to have an open mic right here. And anybody wants to come forward and say why they're at this rally, why they think Donald Trump is a disaster, or if you think Donald Trump is great, you can have the mic as well. So who wants to come forward and talk? Raise your hand. Come on forward.
My son, Elijah, is 15. My daughter, Isabella, is 13. And they are Jewish American children. And I'm here today on behalf of their future, because the hate rhetoric and racism that spews from Donald Trump is dangerous to the future of all children in America and all children throughout the world. And I recognize that the same hateful and racist policies that Donald Trump is promoting are already in effect in the state of Israel, which AIPAC is working to continue. Donald Trump promises to build a wall between the U.S. and Mexico to draw a difference between two human beings, Mexican human beings and Americans. And Israel has already built many walls throughout the Israel-Palestine to lock out Palestinians. And I've been there and seen that. And I've seen the face of apartheid and racism and hatred there. And I don't want to see it here. And I'm working for their, I'm here for their future as Jews, that they may be proud to associate Judaism with human rights rather than associating the state of Israel with an apartheid system where Palestinians do not have freedom of movement. And children in Palestine are imprisoned and tortured and tried in military courts. Donald Trump promises to bring torture back, waterboarding, to take away human rights here. He promises not to let Muslims in. And Israel already does not allow Palestinians, refugees around the world, to return to their lands. So that AIPAC and Donald Trump are really two peas in a pod, and it's, we're here today to fight against racism, to stand up and stand for love and peace for our communities, instead of sending $40 billion over the next 10 years, $40 billion to Israel that has been offered to them so far. Instead of sending that to them, we'd like to send money to Flint, Michigan. We'd like to invest that money in schools, in infrastructure, in jobs. And we know that Donald Trump is not going to help bring that to America, but rather he's going to bring more division. Rather than division, we want to bring love here in America and love in Israel-Palestine. So let's join together and say no to hatred. No to AIPAC. No to Trump. Let's dump Trump. Let's dump Trump and let's dump AIPAC. Let's dump all hatred.
Dump Trump.
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 Dump.
Not another nickel.
Not another dime.
No more money for Israel's crime.
Not another nickel.
Not another dime.
No more money for Israel's crimes.
Brick by brick, wall by wall.
Israeli apartheid has to fall.
Brick by brick,
wall by wall.
Israeli apartheid has to fall.
Hi, my name's Don Mantoni, and I flew here yesterday from Colorado. I'm running for U.S. Senate, and I want people in the United States to know that there's only two parties in America, the inside party and the outside party. And the people sitting down here and protesting are protesting that we're losing our democracy. We're protesting that we're watching a man rise to power who is screaming for hatred, trying to separate people. They've taught us in our wisdom that if we try, they'll try to separate us so that we'll fight against each other while they take more power from us. We have to stop by standing up or sitting down and speaking out about the injustices that are going on here. I'm sitting here today because I have two children who are 9 and 11, and I want them to know that they have a father, that they have a country that they can believe in, that will stand up and fight when they're oppressed, when they're taken to jail, when they're fought against. Are you with me?
Yes!
Are you with me?
Yes!
Thank you for being here and standing up for justice.
We shall not be moved like a tree that's standing by the water. We shall not be moved. And Israel apartheid, we shall not be moved. And Israel apartheid, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's standing by the water. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved just like a tree that's standing by the water. We shall not be moved.
If you're just tuning in, this is Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition on WPFW Pacifica Radio in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to voices of protest and civil disobedience outside the meeting of AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, this week here right in Washington, D.C. One of the points the protesters raised that is that the U.S. supplies $30 billion in military aid and equipment to Israel in apparent violation of U.S. laws forbidding these weapons to be used to commit human rights abuses. In its 2014 invasion of Gaza, more than 2,200 Palestinians were killed, including more than 500 children. So when we come back, we'll have more voices from that rally. Stay with us.
I remember you was conflicted. Misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same. Abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct.
Lost my life.
You're looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even room with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. We're pretty, Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a gangsta in silence for the record. Tell the world I know.
That was All Right by Kendrick Lamar. Thanks to DJ Waheed for that mini remix that we can play on the radio on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. Now we're going to go back to those voices of protest and civil disobedience outside this week's meeting of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee here in the nation's capital, where the rallying cry was dump Trump and disarm AIPAC.
They say, we love Mexicans! Yeah. When Donald Trump says, we hate Islam, we say, we love Islam. When Donald Trump says he's going to be a huge, huge wall, we say, bridges. Bridges. What else does he say?
He says he'll kill family members of
ISIS. Oh, my God. He says he'll kill family members of the people he says are terrorists. He'll kill their family members. We say, no, we gotta love their family members. Oh, he says to punch protesters. We say, no.
Hug protesters!
Hug protesters! Yes! Everybody hug each other. Hug a protester. Yes! Hug a protester! Hug a protester! Oh, Donald Trump says wages are too high. I think he means the rent is too damn. What other stupid things does Donald Trump say?
He demeans women.
He demeans women. Yes. And we love women. All right, we're going to open this up now to open mic. So come up and say why you think that love is better than hate or anything you want to say. So come on up. Tell us why you're here. Why don't you come? Because you got a beautiful homemade sign. Why did you come from? Tell us.
My name is Abdullahi, so I'm pretty much here. I oppose everything Donald Trump kind of stands for. So with a lot of reasons, so I believe love, not hate. So everything is all about hate, so I'm opposing racism, Islamophobia, and then pretty much everything he kind of, he all stands for. So I'm here. It's love, not hate, which is why we're here.
Yeah. Okay.
My name is Allison Kreiner Brown, and this is my 2-year-old tambourine, and I'm here for her, and I'm here for every member of my family and my ancestors and those who walked with them who have been walking on this road towards justice. Donald Trump, he cannot derail this. He is the poster child for the white supremacist male patriarchy, and that hurts all of us. It hurts all of us, so we have to stand together. I am a Christian. My sign says, love your neighbor, and that's what I believe. There, hate is not going to accomplish anything. We have to love each other, and we have to love fiercely, and we have to love each other to stop him.
Yay, thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Wes. When I was a teenager, I lived in Berlin. And I had the opportunity to go to a concentration camp. And before you go to the concentration camp, there's this large letter written by the survivors of Sachsenhausen. And what they say is, after the atrocities of the Holocaust, we should have learned, don't hate someone based on skin, on religion, on political views, all of this whole list. And they said, instead, what we learned was just, don't hate Jews. We should have taken away, don't hate anyone based on religion, skin color, ethnicity, nationality. And we didn't take that away. And Trump is an example of somebody who did not take that away. And I think a lot of the people who, not necessarily the people who are here, but a lot of the people who support what Israel is doing, when they think of the Holocaust, they only think, don't hate Jews. They don't think, don't hate black people, don't hate Muslims, don't hate any. So that's all I would like to say. And I think that we should take that away from the atrocities of the Holocaust, not to hate each other based on anything.
Yay! Okay, when you come up, hold the mic like you're eating it and speak loudly.
Hi, I'm Francisco. I'm Mexican.
Mexican, yeah.
Why we choose love, not hate? Because we know better. When my parents came to the U.S. from Mexico decades ago, they had it rough. They were stopped by police. They were mistreated by employers. They would be mocked for their accents. But then I look at my generation, and something has changed. I think with every generation, America becomes more self-critical and becomes more loving. I've seen people, millennials, who, they love my guacamole, they love my tequila, they love dancing with me, okay? And then you have people like Donald Trump. He's a throwback to a more exclusive, more hateful America. And I can't see why we would settle for going backwards. Why we would choose to step back in time to exclude people and to demean people. We know better. In the words of a great person, hate is too great a burden to bear. I choose love. I hope you choose love and dump Trump. Thank you.
Paso atrás, adelante
paso
siempre.
Paso para atrás, adelante.
Yeah, adelante, si se puede. I see an angry black man in the crowd. Come forth, angry black man.
All right, angry black man therapy, because if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. All right. For the 2016 racial draft, I'd like to exchange the black brother that punched the anti-Trump protest in Arizona for anybody that's voting for Bernie Sanders. We would like to make a trade right here, right now. I'd also like to trade Omarosa for any one of you out here today, because I'm embarrassed by the number of people of color who are supporting this type of racist demagogue. Because what they do is they tell black people as well, they'll say, oh, well, they're stealing your job, and get poor people fighting amongst each other for crumbs off a table. And that is what's working. They get this hate speech that just pumps over and over. When he said make America great again, he may make America white again. You know, that's what he means. Because that's take it back to the original order. Because this country was supposed to have been created by white people, for white people, and by white people. And that's, you know, history by Hillary, of course. All right. But I just want to say that we need to understand that we also have a part in this. You know, we are subsidizing the largest, foreign policy in Israel right now. Israel gets more funding than sub-Saharan Africa and Latin America combined. And we are subsidizing that. So we need to understand that if there is a war tax resistor in you, you need to dig deep and find them. Because I wonder if people in Flint right now are paying their taxes this year. April 4th was April 15th, whatever's coming up. You're going to understand that. What are we supporting? If Trump is elected or selected or whatever, what are we willing to do differently to stop this machine? Because this is a machine. When we was doing Black Lives Matter, they told us to always clear the sidewalk for pedestrian traffic. It was not the case today. You know why? Because APOC bought the sidewalks. They made a permit, purchased a permit, and now they can shut the sidewalk down. It's now turned public property into private property. America is for sale, and we are subsidizing it. We are subsidizing it. Taxation without representation. Can y'all say that? Taxation. Without representation.
Without representation.
It's tyranny.
It's tyranny.
Let's do something.
All right. Hi. I'm here to speak about how love is going to trump related to climate justice for all. Because climate change is affecting people everywhere. It's affecting the most vulnerable. The poor will be hurt worst and first. And so love trumps hate. Climate justice will trump climate denial.
Yes. Yes.
And Mother Earth always trumps it all.
Well, my name is Eugene, and first and foremost, I just want to thank Code Pink for bringing this out here and doing such a great job connecting all of the issues of injustice in this country and abroad. The last time I saw some of our friends from Code Pink was in the Congress around Flint. So whether it's from Flint, D.C. to Palestine, the issues of injustice and oppression and exploitation are being connected and a movement is being built. And I think that's something that we should be proud of. And as terrible as Trump is, I think what we have to remember is he's bringing us together in an unprecedented way. He's bringing us together in a way that many people thought was never possible across religion, across age, across race, across orientation, across gender, across everything. And so I'll close by saying this. It's very apropos that the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department is defending the AIPAC conference. Yeah. Kathy Lanier, who is the chief of police here, said that Israel was essentially a dream for policing. She took a trip there, and they brought back tactics from the occupation police to use in neighborhoods like Southeast, Northeast, on people right here in the United States. They executed Deontay Rawlins. They killed so many people. They brutalized people. This is a police agency that, just like the Israeli occupied police, are nothing more than social control, a military solution to the social problems that this country won't solve and that it perpetuates in the occupied territories every single day. We have to stand up at events like this. So thank you to all of you for coming out. Thank you for Code Pink for giving us this space. Let's keep moving and let's keep fighting. Whatever happens in 2016, we are leaving.
Eugene, I think we need to know, is there a reverend in the house? Yay! Is there a reverend anywhere? Is there a reverend in the house? Is there a reverend in the house?
Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening. And I'm so glad we're out here because we need to be out here. But not only here, but we need to be every place in this country that racists that are embodied by the spirit of Donald Trump dare to stand up and speak. I'm so proud, I said in my church on Sunday, I'm so proud of the folks who went to the Trump rallies and crashed them and made it a spectacle because they're standing up for justice. They're standing up against racism and white supremacy. And when we stand the shadows of AIPAC, where all of these Republicans have gone to speak, including Donald Trump, we recognize that the white supremacist paradigm that is operative in the United States of America is the same white supremacist paradigm that is operative in the state of Israel against Palestinians. It's one and the same. We're united together as people who are fighting against racism. We're united together as people who are fighting for justice. We're united together against hate, against all of the hate that has been put forth in this country. I reminded folks of a paradigm. In the elections of 1876, follow me now. In the elections of 1876, it turned out to be a contested election because every entity was so corrupt that nobody claimed that they could figure out who won. And so Hayes went to the White House with an agreement that he would withdraw Union troops from the South, which he did, that ended Reconstruction and brought in place Jim Crow and all of the kinds of segregation that we had to die battle with for over 100 years. In 1865, Confederate generals got together at the close of the Civil War, and they raised $1 million in cash back in 1865 to fund an underground paramilitary organization that would oppose Reconstruction, that would drive black folks from office, that would turn back the clock towards the Confederacy that was known as the Red Shirts and the White Shirts and the Ku Klux Klan, the Invisible Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Obama gets elected, and immediately you have the Tea Party, hence another paramilitary organization that raided every town hall meeting in this country and ran folks for office in order to serve as obstructionists against this administration and to basically try to turn back the clock, because you understand that the White House was meant to be the White House, and you ended up with some black folks in it, and folks have been screaming just like they screamed in 1865 that they got to take their country back from those people. We're hearing the same mantra right now. In 1876, the campaign was against immigration. The campaign wasn't for nativism. The campaign was to get blacks out of office. The campaign was to basically close down the ability to vote. And here we are once again, 140 years later, and we're facing the same kind of racist paradigm. So don't sit down. Don't back up. We got to continue to push on in a revolutionary spirit and bring this country to a whole different place. We got to dismantle the institutions of racism and segregation and exploitation. God bless you. Continue to struggle.
So I'm a teacher. I work in a school system down in Lexington, North Carolina. And I have a lot of friends who are too. And one thing that we've all noticed is that our kids are freaking terrified of a Donald Trump presidency, especially if they're people of color, especially if they're poor, especially if they're LGBT or anything else. And so if there's any other reason to oppose Donald Trump, that would be that reason, that he's scaring the living out of our kids. Yeah. One of the reasons I'm here is because, as a lapsed Catholic, I enjoy what Pope Francis said about Trump, and it's something that everybody here has been saying. We should be building bridges, not walls. And that is in Mexico, that is in the West Bank, either way. But why do people want to be building these walls? It goes back to this phrase that Ronald Reagan made famous, the shining city on the hill. Donald Trump's rhetoric sticks with people. Israel gets away with what it's doing because of this notion of this shining city of the hill. And whenever there's a shining city on the hill, of course, everybody inside it is good and wonderful, except those of us, you know, nasty people who are trying to bring it down from the inside. And everybody outside is a barbarian or a monster who's going to bring it down. So we need to build up these walls. This is the mindset of every imperialist country, every fascist country, and it's the mindset that is driving Trump's popularity, and it is driving Israeli apartheid.
Thank you for your service. So we're gonna see if there's like two other people that want to speak. Yes, please come forward.
So my name's Christy, and I'm here because although I'm afraid of what Trump could, or Drumpf, as I like to call him, of what he could bring, he's already doing damage now by his words. Every hateful speech that he gives, every time that he's calling out another group that's different from him and saying that they're the reason we should be afraid, or they're what is causing these problems, he's dragging us backwards. He's dragging us back into a place of violence and fear, and he's already creating more violence against these groups that he's preaching against. And so I want to see what happened in Chicago, follow him around, and so every speech he tries to give, he's met with a group like this. And I hope to see you all every time he comes near the DMV. I hope that we will all become friends and say that every time that he comes out here, we're going to be here saying...
I want to tell you, somebody's taping this for radio, so you're going to have a lot of blurps in that part.
All right, so I helped organize this today with Medea and some other folks. My name's Aaron. Nice to meet you guys. So I'm here because my grandfather grew up in Poland, and he lost his whole family in the Holocaust. He was the only survivor. So he passed away last year, and I know that if he were here today, he'd be so disappointed. See, hate rhetoric breeds violence, and there's no reason people in this country should be set against one another and fighting. And this is the kind of thing that Donald Trump wants to do, and then he wants to come in and be the guy that fixes it and act like, you know, he has all the answers. It's a tactic, and we saw that happen in Germany back in the 30s, and we don't want to see that happen here, okay? So this guy's not a friend of the people. You know, this guy has a lot of money, and we've seen with his business dealings, Trump University, 4 bankruptcies. You know, this is a guy that wants to get over on you. And we don't want somebody like that to be our president, do we? We don't want somebody like that controlling our finances and being able to... And we certainly don't want him to have access to the button in the case of a nuclear war, do we? No! I mean, that's crazy. Do we want Donald Trump to have access to nuclear weapons?
No!
So, it's up to you guys. It's up to all of us to put an end to this.
So let's remember that there is one person who did get arrested here doing nonviolent civil disobedience. In her name, we want to thank her, Ariel Gold, for doing this.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved just like a tree.
And that will do it for us on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. I'm Esther Rivera. Those were voices from the Dump Trump and Disarm AIPAC rally this week outside the Verizon Center, outside the meeting of the AIPAC convention. And special thanks to Jamila Bay and DJ Wahi. Thanks to our engineer, Mike Nacella. And thank you so much for listening and supporting your station for Jazz and Justice. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can now listen to all of our shows and past shows. Please like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On the Ground Show. Now stay tuned for the news, followed by, it looks like, Lady Murr today on the Thursday edition of Don't Forget the Blues. Raise your voice out there. Peace.